David Trainer is here. He is the president and founder of New Constructs, and they evaluate securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. And today we're talking about a stock that doesn't score so well on that scale. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life. David Trainer comes and joins us each week at this time to discuss something that, well, quite honestly, if you were to size it up from the top down the way most people do, you might come to this conclusion.
You are so good looking.
But when you size it up from the bottom, when you start at the footnotes and you work your way up, you have to ask yourself a question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Yeah, it is. So what winds up happening is that there are plenty of stocks out there where they're attractive at the surface level, but when David goes in and looks at how they really should be calculating things, he finds that their earnings and other things are misleading, and that makes a stock dangerous. If you want to learn more about what they do at New Constructs, it's newconstructs.com, on Twitter at New Constructs, and they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, which means if you've got questions about the stock we're going to discuss today, you can go get information, follow up, and it'll all be there on the New Constructs website. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Eventbrite.
Danger, danger.
Eventbrite. It's ticker symbol EB for the Class A shares. And this is a stock that a lot of people might wind up dealing with. They're a technology platform that basically helps to create live experiences. And I've noticed that they seem to be creeping into some of the things I'm going to, whether it's conferences or other stuff. But the fact that they're creeping into maybe everybody else's daily life does not mean that their stock is moving in the right direction. What's the problem here?
Yeah, this is a classic overhyped IPO where you've got a company that's promising to do great things, overstating some of their cash flow metrics, but ultimately, we believe is really just in a very weak competitive position. You know, it reminds us of Dropbox and Box, you know, where, yeah, they got a lot of free customers and some low-paying customers, and they're not really having any success monetizing those or growing the money from their existing retained customers. In fact, they've seen a decline in that group. To make money, they got to move upstream and get to some of these bigger events, the conferences like you mentioned. But when they do, you know, they're going to run into very powerful, well-entrenched companies like Ticketmaster and StubHub and a lot of other businesses already there with the high-paying events. And we're not just not a buyer, that they're going to be able to do that, at least not as well as what's baked into the stock price.
Well, you talked about numbers that you found. The word wasn't misleading. I lost it in my head, but you were talking about some of their numbers basically being incorrect. How does a company get away with incorrect numbers, and what are the specific incorrect numbers you're talking about?
Well, we're talking about free cash flow, right? They report $21 million in free cash flow in 2017. Our analysis shows negative $104 million, right? And that's because they're going to take all kinds of expenses out, such as stock-based compensation or the cash paid for acquisitions. So, you know, wouldn't we all love to, you know, Chuck, like, say our cash flow didn't count the things we bought this year? Oh, I bought a new car. It didn't hurt my cash flow, right? You know, especially if you're not borrowing for it, right? I mean, regardless of how you finance it, it's an acquisition, it's a purchase. And they pull that out, which we think is a joke. And we think it's honestly very misleading because a big part of their growth strategy is buying customers through acquisition. They do the same thing with their acquisition costs. They ignore the cost of buying customers when they're analyzing their acquisition costs or reporting their acquisition costs, which, again, it's a joke. So if you only look at the income statement version of their acquisition costs, it looks pretty low. But that ignores the fact that they spent something like $240 million in the last couple of years on acquisitions. So it's misleading. It's terribly misleading. And the reason they get away with it, Chuck, is because there is no official definition of cash flow or free cash flow. There's no standard official definition, so people can get away with calculating it however they want.
So how ugly is this picture in your opinion? I mean, I recognize that it's always tough to figure out what the catalyst is going to be, but when this stock sees a catalyst, what's a fair value on the stock?
to justify the current stock price, they've got to get margins up to 2.5% and grow revenue by 40% compounded annually for 10 years, right? That's what they have to do to justify the current stock price. 40% for 10 years, right? And that 2.5% margin is significantly above where their margins have been in the past. So, you know, we're actually showing negative margins for these guys at this point in time.
Ultimately, the stock is worth, if you...
Yeah, right. So I was going to get to that one next. If we say they can still get to these better margins, and instead of 40% compounded annually, they grow 20% compounded annually, we're talking about $4 a share, or 84% below where they are now.
Yeah, $4 a share, that's a $30 a share haircut. Wow.
And that's still with 20% growth. And that 20% growth would mean they'd get to $1.2 billion a decade from now, which would be about 450 million tickets they'd have to sell, which is 30% of the overall market. The current stock price assumes that they're going to get to 1.1 billion tickets, which is 175% of the current market. So they're going to have 175% market share. Of course, that's 10 years from now, so the market share will, or the market will grow. But you get the idea of the just absurdity of the expectations baked in the stock price.
Yeah, what I get is the real idea that you ultimately believe this stock may be worth zero.
It's hard to say. If it's not making money and they've got competition to make money,
could be.
People just tend to assume that, you know, it's easy for one company to do what another company does. Snapchat and Facebook are great examples.
Yeah.
Facebook didn't have competition when they became a powerhouse. Snapchat's got to beat this powerhouse. That's not easy to do because Facebook didn't get to be a powerhouse because they're wimps.
Right. And in the case of Eventbrite, well, everybody else is already in the space. They're invading the space and, well, maybe not invading it as well as the price suggests they are. David, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Chuck. I enjoyed it.
The stock is Eventbrite, ticker symbol EB. The Danger Zone pick this week. Remember, for more information, go to newconstructs.com on Twitter at newconstructs. We'll be back with our big interview with Brian Nick from Nuveen when we continue.